This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block. CBS has announced it is firing Don Imus. The decision came after growing protests against the controversial radio host. Imus was joking with a producer on the air last Wednesday when he made racist and sexist comments about the Rutgers women's basketball team. Joining us now is Ken Auletta. He's media critic for The New Yorker. Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
Now, Ken, CBS had earlier said it was just going to suspend Don Imus for 2 weeks. Then we had yesterday MSNBC canceling the TV simulcast of the show, and now CBS fires him. What went on?
Well, several things went on, but the biggest thing that went on is advertisers began to flee. And ultimately, these are businesses, CBS and NBC, and suddenly they're looking at Imus and saying, a show that had been a great moneymaker for them promised not to be anymore, because advertisers were saying, we don't want our friendly product in your unfriendly environment. And also, we can't take the heat. We're a public company. We're getting all this criticism. And, you know, the executives who enjoyed and laughed at some of Don Imus' sometimes dumb and sometimes very funny jokes had a harder time laughing when they were getting, you know, attacked by activists out there who said, where's your sense of responsibility? The second thing that was happening was that there was a buildup of public support to fire or suspend or certainly to punish Don Imus. You saw it not just among people who've been sinners themselves in terms of stereotyping like Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson, but you saw it also in Mr. Gordon, who's a member of the CBS board, the former head of the NAACP, who said as a member of the CBS board he would call for him to be fired. You saw it in people like Al Roker, the popular weatherman and personality on Today Show, saying that he wanted him to be fired. You saw it when NBC News and MSNBC decided they're going to pull the plug on Imus's show permanently. So he basically, he was out there alone. And you saw some people who were giving him support saying, well, maybe I won't appear on the show anymore.
What are you hearing from inside about how CBS executives finally made this decision?
Well, I think they felt enormous pressure. And understandably, I mean, here's a guy who did an outrageous thing, but it's not like it was the first time he'd done or said something outrageous.
This is what he's known for.
It is, and something that made them a lot of money. So they looked the other way and laughed like a lot of other people laughed at it. But at some point, in this case, because he was picking on teenage girls who had a great success, and it was a double whammy. He wasn't just stereotyping blacks, he was stereotyping women. And it was so clear that across the line that the press just stayed on the story. And then Imus helped put his foot in his own mouth. He goes on Al Sharpton's show and he apologizes and apologizes and apologizes. And that just, you know, people see him bleeding and they say, hey, I see blood, I'm going after that.
Hmm. You said that Imus' show was a big moneymaker for the network. How big? How much money?
Well, what I've seen, I haven't reported this myself. I did several years ago when I did a profile of Don Imus in The New Yorker. But they say, you know, $20 to $30 million.
Don Imus' show has always been such an interesting hybrid because he has this shock jock component to it, but he's also been able to attract some very powerful figures, politicians, other journalists to come on and really let their hair down, tell things to him that they might not say in other venues. You've been on the show yourself, right?
I've been on probably over the years three or four times. Yeah.
Why do you think it's so appealing for people, or was so appealing for people to talk to?
I think it's probably for a number of reasons. One is he does a good interview, and he gives you 10 minutes or so when he does an interview. Secondly, he was giving people an opportunity to show another side of their personality. I mean, Dan Rather, who was perceived as the stiff, tight guy, suddenly showed he had a sense of humor. There are a lot of reasons that people did that, and he was very funny. But the truth is, as you were implying before in your question, he wore two hats that were contradictory. He had the serious news interview and discussion coupled with the shock jock. And I suspect even if Don Imus were not fired, as he was today, that he was dead in any case, because his success is not based on the serious interviews he does. It's based on the shock jock component. That's where he gets most of his audience. It's people sitting on the edge of their seats saying, I wonder what Imus is going to do next. Or, God, he's funny. Wasn't that funny? And the truth is that once he becomes scripted, once he has to worry about offending people, by God, I can't make that mistake again or I'm dead, He won't make that mistake again. And he'll become much more contrived, much more controlled, and much less funny.
We saw, obviously, Howard Stern move on quite lucratively to satellite radio. Do you figure that Don Imus heads over there as well?
You know, one of the things that we forget is that America is a country that really does forgive people and allows people to have second and third and fourth acts. So Don Imus could have another life. The question is, will he feel the same freedom to say quickly what he thinks or tell a joke quickly, or will he feel so constrained that he's not the same person?
And some would say maybe that's not such a bad thing.
It's both. It's not such a bad thing, certainly if it prevents him from saying the dumb things he said last week. On the other hand, he also is a pretty funny guy. And he didn't reach that audience by being, you know, scripted.
Ken Auletta, the media critic for The New Yorker. Ken, thanks very much.
My pleasure.